Hi, this is Laura, and today I'm speaking with Darren Sardelli, a children's poet whose work has appeared in numerous anthologies in the United States and England, and who has a new book out called Galaxy Pizza and Meteor Pie and Other School Poems That Are Out of This World. Darren specializes in funny poems for elementary and middle school students, and you can see samples of his work at his website, which is www.laughalotpoetry.com, and we've got a link to that site from the Clubhouse. So, Darren, it's great to have the chance to speak with you today.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's definitely a pleasure to be speaking to you as well.
Well, you know, I personally love good children's poetry, and when I got your book, I knew it was good because I wanted to read the poems out loud, and to me that's a great test of a good poem, when you just have to read it out loud. And I don't have small children at home anymore, so I read them to my dogs, and they enjoyed your poetry immensely, I have to tell you.
That's incredible. That really is, that's the best compliment I guess a poet, a writer can receive. When the dogs like it, you know it's good.
There you go. I've edited a lot of poetry over the last 20 years, and certain elements have to be present in good poems for kids. And it seems that most great poets start with an experience or a fact of life that kids know to be true, and then they kind of turn it on its head. Do you find you have a way of looking at the world that helps you kind of tune into this kid's viewpoint?
Well, I think I definitely look at the world, you know, very differently than most people. Whenever I'm writing, you know, for children, I try to put myself in a child's perspective. Maybe I imagine myself in a playground, what it was like when I was a kid. I can, you know, just think about those memories and put myself back where I was, you know, 15, 20 years ago, which I don't, it might be a unique thing to do. I'm not really sure. I mean, it's pretty natural for me. I love to use my imagination, and when my imagination runs, you know, wild and free, I mean, like, anything is possible, and there's so many wonderful things that, you know, come out of my mind, which is pretty cool. And also going to, you know, elementary schools and middle schools for the past 6 years, performing my poetry for children and teaching them how to write funny poetry as well. I'm able to see what, you know, what their likes are, what their dislikes are. You know, I test out a lot of poems. Some of them work, some of them don't work. But I'm able to get a good feel just by, you know, talking to them and, you know, just being around them, you know, what they enjoy. And that's the type of things that I write about, you know, things that they can relate to, things that will really grab them. And I put this in my poetry because I want to make poetry fun and exciting for them. Because when I was a kid, I really had no interest in poetry whatsoever. I thought it was dull. I thought it was boring. I thought it was kind of dry. For me, writing a poem, it was kind of like, you know, pulling teeth. You know, I did it because I had to do it if I ever did happen to write a poem in school.
You know, it's interesting you talk about humor because it seems that that is a really important element in good children's poetry. And I noticed a lot of your poems sort of build to a punchline at the end. So when you're writing the poem, do you think of the punchline first and then sort of write backward, or how does your process evolve when you're writing?
Okay, it's a very good question. Most of the time I start with a topic and I just start writing, and you know, the most important part of the poem is the ending. So it's almost like figuring out a puzzle. You know, you have all these words, and you're mixing all these words around, and you're just trying to find, you know, the perfect ending that will just. A lot of my endings there, you know, they are. There's a punchline. There's a twist. You know, usually there's something. It looks like the poem is going in one direction, and all of a sudden it just goes in another direction. So I'm just constantly thinking, playing with words, playing with different scenarios. I could be sitting down for, you know, sometimes 3-4 hours at a time playing with the last two lines, because I'm just so dedicated, and I want to get those lines as perfect as possible. So it's all about, you know, it's all about playing and just mixing up words and just having fun with it too.
And do you have any sort of tricks as far as creating the structure of your poems? One of the things I really like about your poems is that they're not all exactly the same meter. You know, the poems have different structures to them. And Some people have very formal ways of approaching their poetry, and other people don't. And I wondered, how do you work on the meter and the rhythm of your poems?
Truthfully, it all happens in my head. When I started writing poetry, I was 20 years old. This is about 12 years ago. I was a junior in college, and I had, I was writing, but I didn't know anything about meter, about structure, about rhythm, about anything about patterns within writing. I basically taught myself how to write. And when I went to my first writers conference in 2003, this is the first time I actually read my poems, to people. Before that, I was kind of afraid to get in front of a crowd and, recite my poetry, especially, writing poetry, starting to write poetry at such a later age in life when I never had any interest in writing before the age of 20. So when I went to my first writers conference in Santa Barbara, people really took to my poetry, and they loved the ideas, they loved a lot of it. I was actually very surprised. But there was one person that, told me, he said, "Darren, these poems, they're good, but, there's no meter, there's no structure." And he actually taught me how to write, how a poem should be written. So after that experience, I changed the style of how I wrote, and I studied a lot of books. I didn't just read books by Dr. Seuss. I would study books, study how he wrote. And it took me about a good 5 months to really learn how to write in perfect meter, because that's how a poem, should be written. And it's kind of interesting. The person that, taught me, how a poem should be written, taught me about meter. His name is Monty Schultz, and he's the son of, Charles Schultz, the guy that, created, Charlie Brown and Snoopy and, the Peanut Gang, which is really, I mean, it was really cool just to meet him, and, for him to give me that advice. It was pretty amazing. It kind of blew me away.
That's great. Well, and that makes such a difference to a writer's life to have someone, a mentor like that, to take an interest in you and to sort of give you that little bit of guidance that you need that turns everything around for you. And I think that's a great piece of advice is studying. You studied Dr. Seuss. I'm sure there's other great poets that you studied and just really sort of dissect their work.
There are, besides Dr. Seuss, I would say, Jack Polutsky. He's a great poet who writes in perfect rhythm. Also, Ken Nesbitt. He is a wonderful poet as well. His meter is flawless. Bruce Lansky. His meter is great as well. So, I mean, there are poets out there that, I mean, if you want to learn how to write in perfect meter, there are. I would suggest, just reading the poems over and over and over again by these people who write in perfect meter, and then just, it's going to eventually click in your head. And when it does that, you just got to keep writing, and eventually it's going to happen for you. But it does take some time. But I mean, if you want you can make it happen.
I think that's great advice. And also, one thing I've noticed with manuscripts I get that are poems or stories written in rhyme, one problem people have with meter sometimes is they try to tweak the pronunciation of certain words so that the meter works.
And I think that just kills it, truthfully.
And it does kill it. And I always tell people, and I don't know if you use this technique or not, but have someone else read it out loud to you, because in your head you may be pronouncing a word a certain way to make the meter work, but the average person who picks up your poem is not going to do that.
Absolutely. When people write a poem, or people write a story in rhyme, and they read it over and over and over again, sometimes they create a meet their own meter in their head that might not actually be, perfect meter or, good meter. And so it's very helpful if, you give your story, you give your poem to somebody, and, have them read it out loud so you can hear it. Because, sometimes the writer, it is very hard to hear how it should sound. So it is. I think that's a very good. It's a good idea. It is a good technique. And I do that once in a while, because there are poems that I write where I'm just reading over and over and over and over and over again. And there's a couple of words every now and again that I guess a reader could trip over.
Now, as a poet, where have you found to be the best markets for selling your work? You've appeared in a lot of anthologies. Has that been your most successful market?
Well, it's great. I've been publishing a lot of anthologies, especially by Meadowbrook Press, and a lot of these anthologies, they contain poems by Bruce Lansky and Ken Nesbitt and Shel Silverstein and Jack Polutsky and Douglas Florian, and there's a lot of other great, you know, big authors. I mean, it just kind of blows my mind that I even in these in the books with all these great poets. But I guess, you know, going to elementary schools and middle schools, I visit between 50 and 60, you know, elementary and middle schools a year. And when I'm at these schools, I perform my poetry. I, you know, talk about writing. I, you know, talk about where I get my ideas from and all the great things you can do with ideas. And I really try to make poetry fun and exciting for kids. And, you know, once the kids see me, then, you know, then they usually want to buy books. So that's how I've been marketing the books that I've been in and, you know, selling them in the schools that I go to. That's been my major source of distribution at this point in time.
Well, and I wanted to talk about your book, Galaxy Pizza and Meteor Pie, because this is actually self-published. You formed a publisher called Laugh-A-Lot Books. Can you talk a little bit about the process of self-publishing? Because you did a really great job. It's a hardcover book. It's really nicely illustrated, and it looks very professional. It has all of the right things on the cover, like the barcode and the ISBN number and all of those things. How did you go about sort of researching what you needed to do to self-publish?
Truthfully, I used all my contacts in the, you know, children's book industry. Since I've been published in books since 2004, I've actually been published in 12 children's books and 6 textbooks. And, you know, just by being in the industry and working with different publishing companies, I was able to, you know, meet certain people that have had quite a bit of experience in this area, and I just asked a lot of questions. You know, I did my homework, and, you know, it took a while to really, you know, I thought this was actually going to be a very long and tiring process. So I was kind of scared at first to actually start a publishing company and publish my own books. But, you know, just asking a lot of questions and, you know, people who have done it in the past, I, you know, just contacted those people and talked to them, and, you know, they pretty much showed me step by step and told me, you know, what I had to do, and, you know, they kind of gave me tips on what not to do also, which, you know, I took from their experiences, which helped me, you know, create, you know, the best possible book I could create. So I just made sure that I was just going step by step, and anytime I had a question, I would always call somebody, and, you know, they always had, you know, a great answer for me, and, you know, just put me in touch with the right people to make this book possible.
And I think that's a good way of going about it, because a lot of people want to jump in, they don't want to ask for help, and I think that the writing community is very generous in giving help and advice to each other. And if you contact people who have done this, they're more than happy to tell you what printers they used and designers and what not to do, mistakes they made. So, and it's so easy on the internet to get in touch with other authors who have done this.
It is. And I tell you what, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are very helpful. And if you just ask a couple of questions, you know, they'll answer your questions and might even give you more information than you're asking for, which is always a good thing. Also, when it comes to, you know, a publishing company, when a publishing company accepts a manuscript from an author and wants to publish it, you know, they provide the illustrator. With creating my own publishing company, I was able to choose my own illustrator. And this illustrator, her name is Pam Catapano, and about 3.5 years ago, I was at an elementary school doing a presentation and a couple of workshops, and she was an art teacher at the school. And, you know, I was actually introduced by a friend who worked in the school. I used to coach her son in ice hockey. I coached ice hockey for 5 years. And when I met Pam and saw her work, I just kind of fell in love with what she was doing, and, you know, gave her a couple of poems to illustrate, and she did a phenomenal job. And, you know, a few years later, we, you know, talked about putting a book together, and she was on board, and she just, you know, she's a very, you know, very colorful, as you can see in my book, you know, very colorful illustrations, and, you know, she had some really, really fun things for children in that book.
When you set up school visits, how do you go about sort of publicizing yourself and getting appointments to visit schools? Do you stay mostly in your area, or do you travel around the country, or how do you work that?
I do. I live in New York, and I say about 90% of my school visits are in New York area, Long Island, upstate New York. Every once in a while, I do visit schools in New Jersey and, Connecticut. I've been to schools in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts as well. I would like to, take this all over the nation. But yeah, generally, visiting schools for the last 6 years, it all started out with a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and most of the time I don't get, it's very, it's tough to get, responses back. But there are showcases on Long Island, which give me the opportunity to, perform for 10 minutes in front of either a lot of, PTA members from different schools, a lot of librarians from, Suffolk County and Nassau County in New York, and and also there's conferences too, where you're able to meet, again, PTA people and, educators, and, it's all about networking. It's all about putting yourself out there. Don't be afraid to make the phone call, send out the emails, attend, any event, where there might be, educators and, PTA people and, teachers or principals, wherever, whoever, offer to speak as a guest speaker at a PTA meeting or a PTO meeting. Whatever it may be, but it's all about putting yourself out there, and you also have to have a good program as well. So, I mean, I've definitely developed a very strong program that, kids respond to and really like, as well as teachers. Before I started doing this, I was actually afraid to, to go up in front of a group of people and, speak, and I was, I guess I was pretty nervous, but it just goes to show you, when you put yourself out there and you keep, doing something on a consistent basis, no matter how afraid you might be, things are going to start to click. You're going to get more confident in your abilities, and you're going to find ways to make it work.
I think that's a great point about doing your program for the PTOs and the PTAs, showing the parents and the teachers what you've got, and then they'll hire you to come into the school. You can't expect them to just answer an email from an author and go, "Okay, we're going to pay you to come in to our school," if they have no idea who you are. So I think that's a great idea, and probably offering, I would imagine, to do a few programs for free up, at the beginning, just to get your name out there.
That's actually something I did. The first year I started this, I did about 15 programs, for free. And truthfully, the first 5 programs, I had no idea what I was doing. I was nervous, but I just, the kids really responded to my poetry, and every time they laughed, that gave me more confidence. I would definitely suggest any author out there who has a book, just do a couple of free programs, even if you're scared, if you're not sure what you're doing, just go into a classroom, for 15, 20 minutes and read your book, or just talk to the kids and just kind of get a good feel for what you have, and, see how they respond to what you're writing.
Do you have any final advice for people who are just starting out who really want to write poetry for kids and get their work out there? Anything you've learned along the way, or any particular advice that helped you a lot when you were starting out?
I would say any type of writing that you want to do, the writers that inspire you the most, just keep reading their books. Not only read their books, but study their books. Study how they write. I studied Dr. Seuss. I studied Shel Silverstein and Shel Schumer, and just the way they wrote, because I mean those are the two people that really inspired me and just blew me away. So I think, if you're going to learn how to write, you might as well learn from the best. Pick books from authors that you really enjoy, and just study their writing and read their writing, and try to, I guess, feed off that energy, and then just write and write and write, and eventually you will, develop a writing style of your own. You will find your inner writing voice. But again, you just have to keep writing and just stick with it, and don't just try not to get frustrated. At times it is frustrating, but if you really want it, you're gonna find a way to make it happen. Would you like me to recite a poem before we go?
Please do recite a poem. Yeah.
Okay. This poem is called "My Doggy Ate My Essay." My doggy ate my essay. He picked up all my mail. He cleaned my dirty closet and dusted with his tail. He straightened out my posters and swept my wooden floor. My parents almost fainted when he fixed my bedroom door. I did not try to stop him. He made my windows shine. My room looked like a palace, and my dresser smelled like pine. He fluffed up every pillow. He folded all my clothes. He even cleaned my fish tank with a toothbrush and a hose. I thought it was amazing to see him use a broom. I'm glad he ate my essay on how to clean my room.
Great. See, that's a perfect example of that funny punchline at the end. And that's what makes it such a great poem for kids. So thank you, Darren. I enjoyed that immensely. And good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate the interview, too. Thank you.